This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the program on a Saturday. I could call it a sultry Saturday because it's going to be in the 60s today. A lot of people are out doing stuff. Yes, it's drizzling potentially, but so what? It's February. It's an unbelievable stretch of weather we've had, and it looks like it's going to continue. Who knows when it will end? Anyway, 412-928-9370. Joel Nelson is now in the hot seat. He's made his way in. The familiar voice of Joel Nelson. He'll be here all the way through what time?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. Paul Alexander starts at 1. In the meantime, you can call Joel. He'll put you on with me at 412-928-9370. You can hit me up on Twitter at KD Pump. Show brought to you by PNC Bank, number one Cochran, Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman, Ireland Contracting, and Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. And fan Twitter is brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township, SouthHillsKia.net. And fan text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they say there's never a fee unless they get money for you. So we have a lot that we covered in the first hour. Instead of repeating all of it, I know a lot of people want to talk about it, beginning with the Penguins and the Wild. That happened last night. The Penguins come away with a 3-2 regulation loss. 0 points for that one. Let's go to Tom in Oakmont, who's been very patient waiting here. Tom, thank you for waiting, and now you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you, Bob. Yeah, I got a simple idea. It's like what they're asking on the power play. They think they get the big guys are getting too fine, and they just want them to whack at the net. Well, it would make sense to me. That's what the lower caste players do. They're not as fine. They just take a whack at the net. Throw one, two, three, throw a bunch of them guys in and see where you end up. I mean, it can't be any worse, right?
Yeah, the night that we saw, Tom, the Penguins get two power play goals on a five-minute major to Brendan Dillon of the Jets, who hit Nola Chari in the head. He got a three-game suspension. The first unit and the second unit both scored on that. It took a while.
Yeah.
But you're right. I mean, those guys just, it's more of a lunch pail mentality.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
You just get in there and...
Yeah, and make, whack away.
Like even last night, okay, they got a power play goal, but it was a thing of art from Carlson to Crosby, who was on his knee. And that looks great and everything.
Yeah.
But I don't know how... aside, you know, Crosby's good at making that happen, but if you're looking for that kind of play all the time, it's just not going
to
work.
Yeah, that was probably the worst thing that could happen to him. They'd have been better to go with a drought and you know, and use this idea. Throw some grunts in there, some guys that, you know, they'll be excited and all their energy will be up for one thing, and let them go. Throw some grunts in. Yeah.
All thanks, right,
Bob.
I like what you said, grunts. Put those grunts in there. Well, they got to get production from everywhere. They're not getting enough secondary scoring at all for my liking. Rickard Rakell was a contract that I didn't think they needed to go long-term to that point. I would have rather spent the money on Gensel, which is still going to be the biggest moving here into the March deadline. What are they going to do? So far, no deal for Jake Gensel. Are they talking? He's already rejected them reportedly once. How much is it going to take? They can do it. I don't think there's any question. They can do it because they're going to lose money at the end of this. This contract wouldn't take place until next year, and Jeff Carter won't be around next year. At least I don't think so because his contract expires. Cap's going up. They'll probably shed a few other people along the way. So they can do it. But let's say he wants money that they're not capable of agreeing to. Let's say he wants $10 million a year. You know, he can make that claim based on what he's done, especially in the postseason. And if they don't want to deal with that, then what? You know, then they got a situation where they're going to have to make a decision, because the last thing you want to do is go through this season, no contract, and he decides he's moving on and testing free agency. You're not going to get much in return, if at all. So I think they have to have that situation come into clearer focus over the next couple of weeks. 412-928-9370, Greg in Youngstown calls right now, and he's on the air. What's up, Greg?
Hey, Bob. Hey, first off, I want to say about Cook. He'll still be missed, but my prediction next year is he'll be back in Pittsburgh, back at the Fan next year at this time. My prediction.
Ron.
Ron will be back next year. He will get bored and come back to Pittsburgh.
He may get bored. I think boredom happens when you cold turkey just drop something that you've done for your entire life. I get that. But I don't know if he's going to – he's made a big commitment to this, Greg. I don't think he will be. He may call in a few times. Maybe there's a special, you know, couple times a week he could do it virtually or whatever.
He has sports in his blood. I can't see him sitting home all day. Hey, about the Super Bowl, I like the 49ers. McCaffrey is going to have 150 yards and receiving and running. So I think the 49ers will win the game. I just think they have enough power, enough weapons, and their defense is good enough. I think Kansas City, and they haven't scored a lot of points this year, Kansas City. I don't think they could get into a shootout with the 49ers if they get on a roll.
No, I agree with that. I do. And here's the other thing I think, Greg. The one thing that has really been a bugaboo for them, the Chiefs, all year, is drop passes. They led the NFL in them. Although, in these three playoff games that they play, they only dropped three passes total. That's far reduced than what it was during the regular season. So I think Patrick Mahomes' numbers do not look as good, mostly because he had guys drop passes. And that's going to be a big part of tomorrow. We'll see which teams stay away from mistakes. But as I said, Greg, in his last six playoff games, all wins, 11 touchdowns, no interceptions for Mahomes. He doesn't make mistakes in some of these big games.
Yeah, I just think it's a different team he's playing this year. And also, the owners are from Youngstown, so you got to go with people from Youngstown, right?
I had a feeling you were going to go there. Jed York is a DeBarlow guy.
Taylor Swift, period. So that's about
what do you have against Taylor Swift?
I just think she's a media, you know what.
But it's not her fault that she's doing that. I mean,
you know what, though? I'm just tired of her. I'm tired of the Chiefs. I'm tired of the whole garbage. I don't like Mahomes. I don't like his wife. They're the most unlikable team in football right now. And anybody that played him might be rooting against this team right now. So,
Greg, thank you. Appreciate it. I think a lot of people do agree with that, by the way. But, listen, it's not her fault. But he brought up some of these bets. They have a ton of bets here, prop bets, which, Joel, I know you look at some of these things. I don't know if you bet them. I think it's crazy to bet some of these things, because I don't think how you can know an answer. And I think there'd be an inside fix on some of them. You know what I mean? Like how many times somebody's going to be viewed. If you're in the truck as part of the national broadcast, if you get a glimpse of some of these, you're going to say, wait a minute, I control this.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah, that's the one cool thing about those for those guys.
Well, here's some of these. Will Travis Kelce propose to Taylor Swift? Plus 1,000.
I could see it if they win.
No.
No?
Where? On the field?
Yeah.
No.
Sure, she comes down to the field at the end of the game.
No, I think a better chance is having her ride with Mickey and Minnie Rouse. He's the MVP, and then they do it at
Disneyland. Down at Disneyland, yeah.
All right. Here's another bet that we'll not have. Will Taylor Swift, if proposed to, say no to Travis Kelce? Plus 5,000.
Those are the odds on that?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's a pretty good bet.
Here's one that's a cinch. Will Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift be shown kissing on the field if they win? Yes,
yeah,
they will.
That's almost guaranteed if they win.
Will Chiefs win and Swift Kelce announce pregnancy before marriage? Plus 3,300.
These are a little wild.
These are the things that you get.
It's crazy.
But here's one that I like. It has nothing to do with Taylor Swift. Which touchdown celebration will happen first? I'm going to give you choices. The Gronk spike, the home run hit, you know, the swing and the home run hit, the Lambeau leap, the gritty, or Deion high step. Those are your choices. Which would you choose? My answer would be the gritty.
I'm going to go with the spike.
The Gronk spike.
I'm going to take the Gronk spike.
If it's Kelce, you know it's going to be the spike,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
All right. Here's another one that I think is interesting. What will first be said by broadcasters? The GOAT or Mr. Irrelevant?
I'm going to say Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah, me too.
Brock Purdy.
Because that's the storyline, right?
As the 49ers offense gets announced, yeah.
Right. All right, back to the lines we go. We have Guy in California where it's been raining for about 7 days. Are they building an ark out there, Guy?
Yeah, I'm ready for the big one. Hey, especially the earthquake that we're all going to get soon. But listen, Bob, I just want to say that, you know, with Ron Cook's retirement, you know, you are now among the media's senior observers of Pittsburgh sports. And, you know, unlike a lot of the younger folks, I mean, you have who don't really have any kind of institutional memory. You know, I appreciate the fact that you realize that, you know, Pittsburgh teams are not entitled. And I always hear this word entitled, that they're somehow entitled to winning and championships. I mean, they have to be earned. But just changing the subject a little bit, two quick things and I'll go. One is, you know, the Vegas Golden Knights say you're welcome for not allowing the Oilers to beat the
17 games, right? Record.
And the other thing is, on a little more serious issue, you had talked about, you know, the how money's affecting the NFL. You see it in the halftime games. You know, I'm worried about the NFL expansion overseas. You know, because you wonder who's going to own the team and where it'll be. And it's kind of a complicated issue. I'll just be real quick. I mean, is it going to be another corporation? Is it going to be another idiot savant hedge fund zillionaire who owns a team in Carolina? I mean, I think the days of the organic owners who love their teams is gone. I mean, you think, you know, the Rooneys, L. Davis, Hallis, and football, Ed Snyder,
the Hunts,
with the Flyers, and Jerry Buss with the L.A. Lakers. Those days are gone. I mean, what's your thought about the NFL expanding?
Well, I honestly, I don't think we're going to see that anytime soon. I think they're expanding their global marketing. You're going to see games there. In fact, next year, the first Friday of the calendar season for them, they're going to play in Brazil, which, you know, I don't know. Philadelphia will give up their home game to play there against one of nine teams, one of whom is the Steelers. So I don't think that's what happened. I think they're always going to try to get overseas just because it's you know, an untapped resource when it comes to marketing money. But as far as having you're suggesting a team be located in London or,
right,
you know, Ireland, I don't think we're going to see that. I just think it's too difficult to maintain travel consistency with people. I think it's too much. Down the road, maybe, but to me, you're not going to see that anytime soon.
One last question. Didn't one team play two games overseas this year? They stayed there to see how it. That's kind of a trial run, don't you think?
It is, but I think the results are that I don't think people would be. The time differences make it very difficult. Television money matters, and I don't think people want to watch morning television, 7 in the morning, to watch a game that is big importance. You know, I just, it seems like it's too much involved with this. So I don't see it anytime soon. Potentially down the road, maybe, but not now.
Yeah, you're probably right about the time issue, but I think, you know, think about hockey, for example. These games that are on the West Coast that I watch out here, I mean, for us, they start at 7. They're 10 o'clock your time. And
Three hours is a lot different than 6 hours or 14 hours. Some of these locations that I'm talking about, they got a massive time difference. Which is why Olympic games sometimes don't get the ratings they want live, because they happen really weird hours here in the United States.
Yeah, but if a team plays their one last thing, if teams play their, first of all, you could get a team, for example, in Mexico City, or you could get a team which is whatever time zone they're in, with the central or what, or a team that's in Europe, it's only a 5-hour difference. If they play their night games,
I don't know. I think this is a topic that's not, to me, it's down the road. But Guy, I appreciate it, because I think you're probably on to something later. But thanks for the call from California. I think one of the more interesting things for the Steelers anyway coming up would be the draft. They're working real hard to get the NFL draft here. And that's a 4-day, almost an entire week's worth of economic money that would be off the charts in terms of, you know, what it would bring to the city of Pittsburgh. And I think that more than anything is why they want to do it. I think it'd be a great place for it. You're located so close to all these other cities, drivable distances. People be buying hotel rooms. Let's go to Marty in Frick Park, who joins us right now on the Bob Pompeiani Show. Hey, Marty.
Hey, Bob. How are you? What's up? You know, I just noticed the Browns are starting to explore suburbia. You know, originally it seemed like over the last 3 years they went from, well, we're going to explore whatever options make the most sense, to, hey, we're going to rehab the existing stadium. So now they're exploring suburbia, and it kind of makes me think about the Steelers lease up in 2030.
Where do you think they might end up? I'm thinking two places, the Meadows or that auto auctioneer behind the LeVue Center in Cranberry. Because I think at some point the shakedown will happen. And I don't blame the Rooney for that. That's the game plan in every city, right?
I don't think it's going to happen. They're in intense negotiations right now, Marty, for refurbishments. I think that's going to happen more. And I think they're very comfortable where they are, and I don't think they're going to see it go anywhere but on the north side of Pittsburgh.
No. The Browns did that too. The Browns a year and a half ago said they were going to rehab. Then what happens, Bob, is when you bring in the architects, they're like, God, this is ridiculous. This is going to cost so much money. Why don't we just build a new stadium somewhere?
Because
I think that's going to be the arc.
I don't think. I think they're very committed to where they are. I just don't. Well, I don't see that happening.
No, but I mean, just think about the Meadows. Then they somehow end up with ownership of a casino because that'll probably be evolved within the next 5 years.
I don't know. Anything's a possibility. I just don't see it. You're asking me what I think. I think they're going to be where they are. We'll see. I understand what you're saying with the Cleveland because you're right. The original thought is let's do some enhancement. Who's going to pay? And then if it doesn't work the way you want, then you start doing some different things from a strong arm position. But I just my gut feeling tells me that's not going to happen here. So,
all right, Bob.
All right, Marty. But thank you. I appreciate it because it's always something when you got a looming lease and that's 7 years away, 6 years away. That'll speed things up for sure. Let's go to Matt in the North Hills. Hey, Matt, how are you today?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Bob. I met you years ago with Gino Socia golfing with my sons.
Dr. Socia, yeah.
Yeah, I remember hearing, as you guys were talking about what the future looks like and why they're going out of the country. I believe it all has to do with flag football. And I think that it's going to be global. And I think it's a good thing. Exercise is good. My understanding is some of the feedback from the flag football is the fans like seeing the players' faces. They like seeing the moves that they all do, those types of things. So just wanted to throw that out. I listen to you every Saturday, and I just wanted to put my two cents into what I think is happening with the NFL going out of the country.
Matt, thank you. I appreciate that. And you might be onto something because the NFL's made a concerted effort to push flag football. In fact, they even had their first ever flag football players of the year on the NFL honors. There's a reason they're doing that. We'll see where that goes. I mean, people are watching a lot of things. And again, television is the key to this. If they can get people to watch it, then they will move forward on it. Jim in Youngstown joins us right now on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Bob. Well, one thing I wanted to talk about, but quickly, I just want to address. I worked around USA flag before, and as big as it's here in the States, it's just as big overseas. So I think that caller's onto something.
Yeah, me too. NFL
and flag. But I wanted to ask you about the city of Pittsburgh doing a feasibility study about professional basketball teams coming. I know it's not likely for a couple of reasons. One of them just being there's bigger markets out there. But what do you think? Do you think the city would be receptive to a basketball team?
I have said, and I've gone on record saying this multiple times, the only way a city of Pittsburgh would embrace a professional basketball team, if it's one that already exists, it would move here and it has a chance of winning. To start unless they do what the NHL did with Vegas and Seattle and just gives an expansion team every possible advantage, I don't see that. And I also think, to be honest, my opinion about it, there's too many other problems in the city that need to be resolved. The last thing I'm thinking about is bringing a basketball team here right now if I'm in charge of government here. That's not on my list. And I honestly don't think it would work. I think it's hard enough to win. Look at Pitt, for example. Pitt had a tremendous, when they were a hot ticket in the Big East, that's fine. But you got to be that sort of winning to make that happen. How many people would show up there? How many corporations who already spend tons of money on the Steelers, the Pirates, and the Penguins would want to spend even more money there? How many people have the wherewithal to do it? I don't know that that would work.
Well, I think the NBA expansion draft would be nice because it gives you almost basically a team full of six men, which can compete, and the salary cap that the NBA has. Most teams spend right at the salary cap, unlike with baseball. So I think you would see a pretty competitive product from the get-go, just like you saw in Vegas and Seattle. I think that would be a good running spot, at least for the NBA team.
You might be onto something. I just don't see it happening. Listen, if it does, it would bring a bigger focus on Pittsburgh as a major sports city, because then you'd have four of these leagues in existence, which would be tough to do. Not many cities have it. Jim, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. We got to take a break. It's 412-928-9370. Want to remind you once again, our sponsors, PNC Bank. Make today the day at PNC. Also, drive in style with number one Cochrane. Shop 24/7 with Expressway at Cochrane.com. Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman. They got your back, not your wallet. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call and Iron Rock Tap House. It's in Greensburg. It's a great place to go. Eat, drink, watch sports. They got it all for you at Iron Rock Tap House. I'm Bob Pompiani. Joel Nelson's behind the glass. We want more of your calls until 1. It's 412-928-9370. Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. People have already gathered at the 16th Green Tea Box at the Waste Management, a.k.a. the Wasted Management Golf Tournament in Phoenix, to watch a potential hole-in-one, which leads me to a prop bet. Today, Joel Nelson, one hole-in-one. If you had to make a bet, plus 5,000, would you make that bet? One out of all these golfers.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. What
worth a little sprinkle.
They get close. They have a pin location that's good. These people arrive at like 5 a.m, wait, and they run as fast as they can to this green. And man, the PGA, at least from this point of view, is alive and well in terms of its thing about the live golf. Everybody talks about it, but they don't have a television package. You have no idea what they're doing, and most people don't want to go to online to watch it. Meanwhile, 412-928-9370, 412-928-9370 is the number. When you call here, I'm just curious, how do you like watching the Super Bowl? Do you like being by yourself so you can concentrate on the game, just a few people around you? Or do you like going out to a big jam bar where a lot of people could be distracting you from your focus of the game? What do you like it? 412-928-9370. Let's go to Bill in Hopewell Township, my alma mater. Bobby, what's up, Bill? How are you?
Hey, I got to tell you something, man. I am so proud of you. I really am, man. You do a great job. And I'm thinking back to when we used to go to the Aliquippa Games and when you used to dance at Hopewell. And my wife loves you. A special thing that you did when you guys would go disco dancing on Saturday.
I remember this. This is Bill Fontana, one of the mentors I had growing up. And, yeah, Debbie and I would – I've always liked dancing, Bill. You know, I mean, you got to express yourself a little bit. What's wrong with that?
No. But here's the question I want to ask you, okay? Because it's eating at my craw. And I want to know what you think about the Aliquippa situation.
I think it's terrible that the PI double. First of all, Bill, I don't know. I'm old school. I'm sure you would appreciate it. I liked the WPIA when it had 4 classifications, not 6. I think it's ruined a lot of the built-in rivalries that you used to have. It's watered down some of these conferences. But as far as them playing up to 5A, I think it's ridiculous, and I'm glad they're fighting it. And if I were them, I would put out a help wanted sign and would say, if you want to come to Aliquippa to play football just for football intent, come on now, because we're playing in 5A. We need your help. I would throw it right back at the PIAA as best I could.
Well, here's the other thing I want to tell you. I think it's a big thing as far as safety goes. You know, the numbers, they just can't hang with them anymore. But the other thing, Bob, that I am so proud of you because I didn't teach you anything. The only thing I told you was do your homework, and you've done your homework, and it's manifested. You're one of the biggest reasons that our sports are what they are in the Pittsburgh market, and I feel lucky enough that God bless me to know you. I mean, you've just been wonderful.
Bill, I appreciate that, and over the years, I've appreciated all the help that you've provided for me, and you know, with my where we lived, and my dad at times needed help. You were always there for him. I appreciate it, brother. Thank you very much.
And the last thing I'm going to tell you, Bob, you ready? I go golfing with you guys, and I couldn't even come close to you.
Well, I'm not as good as I used to be. I can tell you that, Bill. So you'd be closer.
Well, so that means you're sandbagging, and you're a 2 or a 3.
I don't mind being a sandbagger. I'm dealing with these guys who are sharks out there. They sandbag worse than I do. Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. 412-928-9370. Bill Fontana, one of the big guys back in the day for me. Let's go to Mike in Uniontown. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good, Robert. Hey, Bob, you know what? I'm sure by now on it, even on this show, you overhashed the I talked a lot about the quarterback situation, which is still. But you know what? Let Kenny sit on the bench a little bit. It ain't going to kill him. How long was Aaron Rodgers on the bench? You know, I'm sorry. I got to go with the hot hand. I mean, I'm not saying he's the future for the Steelers, Mason, but I'm telling you now, he was ready. He was physically ready to go. I think it was one of those two or three games at the end. But they knew not to put him in there. So what's that tell you? Well, I'm going to shut it off and listen. Thanks.
All right, Mike. Thanks. First off, I think Mason has a good opportunity here. Even if it ends up just being a high-end backup, he can make a lot more money. He's earned that based on what happened. He got a chance. He made the most of it. Do I think he should get a legitimate chance? Yes, I do. I think he's earned that. And I think that's how it should be. Mike Tomlin said that's how it will be. We'll see. Having said that, he also said that Kenny Pickett goes into next year as QB1, which is interesting because he had a chance in the playoff to go back to Pickett, who was healthy, and he didn't. So they're going to bring in somebody else, however they do it. But I think their ambition is to get him signed, bring him in here, and continue with these two and add on to the room. But thank you for the call. Appreciate that at 412-928-9370. Right now, let's go to Bert and Ross Traver, who joins us on the fan hotline. What's up, Bert?
Hi, Bob. Yeah, I was watching one of these Super Bowl countdown shows, and they showed a statistic that I thought was very interesting. Only one qualifying linebacker, I think that was 25 or more passes against, had a better than 60% completion against performance. Meaning that, to me, you have to throw at the linebackers in coverage. So hopefully that would be the tight ends, I think, in most coverages. And maybe if the Steelers got the tight ends into their passing game more, focus more on throwing against the linebackers, they could get a better completion and move the ball a little better with their short passing game if they have to go to that. Hopefully they won't, but hey.
Yeah, you know, I said this is a big year for Kenny Pickett. It's also a big year for Pat Freiermuth, and he needs to be targeted more. I think he's a weapon there. I do. I think he may not be at the level of a Kelce or a Kittle or whatever, but he's a weapon, and he's a good one, and he should be used more. I think that's going to be one of Arthur Smith's biggest things, is spreading this football around to using. Because I think there's a lot of good in George Pickens. He was number one in the NFL in yards per catch this year. So, and a lot of that was because of Mason Rudolph going down the field to him and making big yards after the catch. They got some talent there. They need to extract as much of it as possible, and I think the offensive scheme will have a lot to do with that.
Yeah, hopefully they can mix up the short, medium, and long. I think that's what they have to be able to do with their passing game and run the ball effectively. Some better formations, some wedge formations. I think they can be pretty good.
Yeah, I hope so. It's going to be a tough division, as it always is. Thank you, Bert. Appreciate the call at 412-928-9370. We have Chris in Greensburg. Chris, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, Bob. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, just a couple quick questions about Pitt football. One, I'm a little concerned about how Penn State is dominating the area recruiting-wise, and was wondering your thoughts on should Pitt maybe get a local high school coach like Penn State did with Terry Smith to help in recruiting. And then my second question was about your thoughts about the loss of Charlie Partridge to the NFL. I'll hang up and listen to your answer.
Thanks, Chris. Well, I think Charlie Partridge is a guy who realizes that this game is changing. And he was one of the recruiting guys for Pitt and did a very good job, I thought. You know, he had a big voice in that. I think it's harder to recruit now than it's ever been. And some of these guys, the head coach of Boston College just quit and took an NFL job. We see out in UCLA, Chip Kelly now goes to Ohio State after Bill O'Brien had agreed to become the ROC. He leaves, and now Chip Kelly leaves. I think there's a lot of uncertainty when it comes to this kind of stuff. Does Pitt have a recruiting disadvantage against Penn State? Yes, and I think they always will. I just think it's very difficult. I think, having said that, I think Narduzzi and his staff have done a good job bringing in a lot of good people here. The elite people are the ones that's difficult to get. And, you know, they got a transfer from Alabama now, so I'm going to be anxious to see what he can do with regard to being a quarterback here at Pitt. But, you know, I think Penn State has James Franklin. You can say what you want about his on-field coaching and clock management, all the stuff that comes with being a game day coach. He's a very good recruiter, and he always has been, and I think always will be. So, should they bring in a Terry Smith sort of? None of that is a disadvantage. I would do whatever I could, but I also think it goes beyond just Penn State here. There are teams that recruit this area, programs, the big ones. They know who the big people are. And with money being what it is today and how much money you have to come up with NIL, I think it's at a big disadvantage for Pitt. I just do. 412-928-9370. We've got to take a break. We have Ryan. We have Dave. Ryan's in New Jersey. Dave's in Vegas. We'll talk about that and more as we continue. This is the Bob Pompeiani Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. We are brought to you by PNC Bank. Make today the day. Number one Cochran. Shop 24-7 with Expressway at Cochran.com. Shendorovich, Shendorovich and Fishman. They got your back, not your wallet. Ireland Contracting, home of the nightly sports call. Iron Rock Cap, Tap House in Greensburg. Come see what everyone's talking about. It's right next to the live casino in Greensburg. Back to the lines we go. Ryan in New Jersey is next up. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Bob. I was calling about the Pens, but first I wanted to say I listened to most of the week, and what Starkey and Big Assist from you and some others did for Cook was pretty amazing. That was basically the story of his life from what I could tell, which was pretty impressive.
It was like a trip down memory lane for him.
Yeah, and I did. And I thought, I think it was last January, like January 2000, maybe 23, or it might have been even 22, when he went on the air and said when his mom died, and I was thinking that maybe that was kind of the catalyst to get that plan in motion for him. He was a mama's boy, and I say that with all due respect. That's not an insult. That's a compliment. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's just one of those things. I'm glad he got to sail off. I don't know if I'd pick Fort Myers, but I'm but anyway, that's more than happy for him. As far as the Pens go, I see the number one, and I hope Duke sees it this way. I see the number one problem is Rust, Smith, and Raquel. And by that, I mean $5 million each. None of them can hit a net. And Russ does occasionally, but he's always been very streaky. He's not really a scoring winger. He's more of like a grinding type. You like to have him on your team. He's really not a scoring winger. He's not like a top prototypical winger. It doesn't matter. And that bleeds onto the power play. If you don't have guys that can hit a net, they talk about putting Hornquist in. Oh, we need Hornquist in front. Yeah, that would help. But this team, and Malkin is doing nothing on the second line. He's basically out there with ice cubes.
No. His production is way down on a power play, absolutely.
And he's not playing badly. He's playing more defense this year, and I think I've seen him in about 15. So he's really not playing badly. But he's 37 years old. You got to give the guy some help. I mean, at this point, that is really – and they played good teams well. They can hang with some of these teams. But if they need to make moves, it's the second-line wing for me. That's it. It's really not the bottom six. And the power play sucks, but, you know, you need somebody that can beat a goalie. And they just – other than Jake Gensel, they don't really have it. I mean, Crosby and Malkin, but they're – you know, they're dish guys. They're pass-first guys. That's not their mentality. So I just hope that if they make a move, it's not – they're talking about they need one more defenseman and they need to improve the bottom six. It's not going to matter if you don't have a second line. It's really not.
No. I agree with you, Ryan, and thank you for the call. I think, number one, I never would have thought I'd be sitting here saying they're one of the better defensive teams in the NFL and the NHL, and number two, that their power play would be next to last. It just doesn't make sense. They're getting what they want out of their goaltending. They're playing a more responsible game generally, but they're not scoring enough. And I didn't think that'd be a problem. Now, you went through your list. Raquel would be number one on my list. I expected far more from him, and that looks like a contract that is going to be a tough one for them. It's a long-term one as well. And I'll throw in Erik Karlsson. I expect more out of Erik Karlsson. He came here as a Norris Trophy winner multiple times, 100 points. Okay, points. But it's got to be more than that, and he's not doing it to my liking anyway. There's time for that to change, and it must change. And otherwise, you're going to see some action at the trade deadline. You know, I don't know what Kyle Dubas will do. I think a lot of it has to do with how far he progresses with Gensel, and we'll see where it goes from there. Thanks for the call, though. Let's go out to Dave in Las Vegas. And if this is the Dave I think, is it Vegas Dave, my friend Dave Sherapin?
You know it is, Bob. I saw the tweet this morning. And
if you guys go on to Twitter, you see him under Sports Consigliere.
You got stroke everywhere, Bob. I'm in Radio Row, Media Row now, whatever they're calling it. And Charlie Batch walks by. And I said, hey, I'm a friend of Bob Pompeiani's. He turned, smiled, talked, could have been nicer. I said, Pomp's got stroke everywhere. I'm out in Vegas, and I'm all excited. So I had to call into your show, one, to say hello, two, to let you know Charlie was more than gracious with his time.
Oh, he's the best. Yeah, he is.
He's the absolute best. Number two, Las Vegas is hosting a Super Bowl. I'm having surreal moments as a kid growing up in Pittsburgh and now living here 21 years, a place that wouldn't be allowed to talk about the Super Bowl is hosting the Super Bowl. I had to call in and give you a prop. Bet the shortest touchdown under 1.5 yards There's always a QB sneak, a pass interference in the end zone. There will be a one-yard touchdown. It's a staple every year.
Nice. This Consigliere is coming through. That's a good one. I never even thought about that one. Joel Nelson, are you paying attention back there? That's a good one.
Yeah, we've been doing this a long time, sir. You know that. We were doing it back in the day. A long time ago.
We were, when it wasn't allowed. We were doing
it. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. We know guys and things like that.
Well, wait a minute. Tell people what you're doing out there in Vegas.
Right now, I'm just doing the media stuff. No longer working in a book, but for a long time, odds maker, various locations. I returned home when PASPA passed, and I spent some time in Wheeling, West Virginia, at the Wheeling Island Casino. It didn't last because the company was a mess, came back to Vegas, and now doing media nonstop. So it's great. I love it. You taught me a lot. I go back to lessons a lot of the time that we spent together. You were one of my mentors back then and a friend forever. So that goes without saying.
You're the best,
Dave.
Number
three, Bob. Number three, is it time to talk about the Penguins not making the playoffs? Because the odds say the no is the bet. And I'm getting worried that the way this is all going to end, I don't want it to look like the Blackhawks at the end, but I don't know what's going on with this team. You said it, great defensively, can't score. They're running out of – I mean, it's already halfway through the season, and they're out of the playoffs. It doesn't look good.
No, and that's the thing, Dave. How big of a hole can they dig? Back in the day, they could climb out of it. I don't know the way they're not – putting a puck in the net on a consistent basis, if they can do that. So points are precious. I'm really almost out of time here. I want to get a couple more on, but Dave, I want to say thanks. And by the way, your oversized hat looks good. I've been seeing it on Twitter. I appreciate it. But the fact that you were a bookmaker one time and you did these odds, I think that's a great bet. Say it again. So it's shortest pass. What is it again?
It's the shortest touchdown in the Super Bowl, 1.5 yards. You can bet over or under. The common think is to bet over, but the actual best play is to bet under 1.5 yards for the longest touchdown or the shortest touchdown in the Super Bowl.
So it certainly makes sense. Dave, all the best, man. Thank you for checking in. Appreciate it, man.
You as well, sir. Have a great rest of the day.
All right. Dave in Vegas. Used to be here in Pittsburgh. I worked with him for a while, went into the odds-making business, a very good one at that. So that's a good one. A little bet for you. Shortest touchdown bet, a yard and a half. He says pass interference, you know, first and goal at the one, quarterback sneak, whatever. All right, let's squeeze in Scott in the car real quick. Hey, Scott, how are you?
Hey, Bob, always ready to talk to you, man. Sorry I missed you down at Mike's the other day. I got a chance to talk to your lovely wife for a while.
Yeah, she was bartending. I'm glad you did. She enjoyed that.
Yeah, she's awesome. Hey, real quick about the Pirates, Bob. I guess they're not going to dip into the free agent pool very, very deeply. They're going to stay in the short end of the pool again. But here's my thought. I'm going to get your opinion real quick. There's two free agent pitchers out there. I say give them both one-year deal, Snell and Bauer. And if you're not in contention, you could easily flip them at the deadline for a haul, both of them, if they have good years. And it puts a stamp of like a legitimate team on the field, Bob. Gives the players in the clubhouse something to play behind. And I think it sends the fans a little message like, hey, we actually are trying. Without that, Bob, what they've done so far is laughable.
Yeah, they have not done a lot. I agree with you, Scott, and I wouldn't mind that at all. And even if it is just for that reason, do something that gives people an opportunity to be a little optimistic. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Kind of running out of time. I'm going to squeeze in John and Butler because he was kind enough to call. John, you'll be the last caller today. What's up?
Hey, Bob. Just wanted to give a comment on Rudolph and Pickett. I think the Steelers are looking at it this way. They know what they have in Mason Rudolph. He is a pocket passer. Give him the protection, he can get the job done throwing the ball. With Pickett, if you can give him an offensive line that's really good, keep him in the pocket, he can get the ball down the field, but he also has other options. You can roll the pocket with him. He can run better. He's a better athlete. And you just said about the tight ends, what game did Pat Freiermuth have his best game of the season? Against the Bengals.
Yeah, the 10-catch
okay,
one.
So,
yep.
And then I saw a couple passes in that game down the sideline to Pickens. Couldn't throw the ball better than that. So got to be careful with what we're trying to do here. And we want a guy to be terrific right off the bat. I think this all came after Canada left, too.
And, of course, Trubisky, look at how he played. He played lousy for three games, and Mason came in, and he was lights out. So, yeah, we're excited about Mason Rudolph, but let's not give up on Pickett yet.
No, I hear you, and I appreciate that. Thank you very much for the call. And that'll be it, John. Thank you. You're the final one of the day. Want to remind you that Sun Weather is brought to you by – the weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. And the weather says today that it's going to be 60 degrees. It's very golfable, as Paul Alexander – and I love that. That quarter zip, the WPGA, I love it. I have the same one. Reminds me we should be out playing golf instead of doing this, but we're doing this. And you got four more hours of it coming up, so – Sun Weather, Sun, I keep saying Sun Weather, Sun Chevrolet with the weather, and it's going to be 61 or more today. The record 65 tonight. Some drizzle moving in, low of 35. That's your Sun Weather. So, Paul Alexander's up next. Real quick, who do you like? I like San Francisco.
I like them. They're just not going to win.
Yeah, they are.
No.
Yeah, they are.
Now, write it down. You're giving Patrick Mahomes
it's
points?
Time. It's
write
time.
It down.
Nope.
Call your neighborhood bookie.
Did you hear Dave Sherapin, the sports consigliere? He's a friend of mine. He does all this. He said the best bet is the over-under shortest touchdown, 1.5. And he always is right because there's always going to be some pass interference somewhere. The ball goes down.
First and goal from the one.
Yeah, and then somebody scores on a quarterback sneak. That's a good bet. I never even thought about that bet.
So, I like whatever McCaffrey, whatever his number is, he's going over.
Especially passing receptions.
He's going to have
a
day.
I agree. All right. That's going to wrap it up for me. Paul is here. And we'll do it again next week. Thank you for joining us here. I always appreciate the feedback. Joel Nelson, thank you for your expertise. That's going to do it for us. Big thank you to our sponsors once again. PNC Bank, number one, Cochrane, Shenderovich, Shenderovich and Fishman, Ireland Contracting, Iron Rock Tap House in Greensburg. Great place to hang out and watch some sports like tomorrow's Super Bowl. You'll see it on KDKA all day. Pre-post game, we got it for you on the home of the Super Bowl 58, KDKA-TV and CBS Sports. Paul Alexander up next. I'm Bob Pompeo. Have a great week, everyone. We'll see you next time.